In this video, I'm talking about autism and food issues. Oh yeah, you know what I'm talking about. All that's coming up. Hey guys, welcome back to the Aspie World. My name is Dan. I have autism, ADHD, OCD, and dyslexia, and I make weekly videos on this subject. So if you are wanting to learn more, remember to hit that subscribe button by clicking the notification bell to see more videos like this from me. Also, if you're watching over on Facebook, be sure to give this page a like and a follow to see daily videos from me. Okay guys, so this video, I am breaking down three of the top tips I've got for helping with autism and food issues, because let me tell you, there's a lot. Okay guys, before we get started, I'd love to know, are you a person on the spectrum, or are you a parent with a kid on the spectrum and you're looking to learn more about the food? Leave me a comment down below. Let me know which one, you know, where you're coming from, because I want to know, I want to have that discussion with you, and I'd love to talk. I read and respond to every comment. It's never wasted. I see every single one. Please do that now. Oh, and if this topic is of interest for anybody, please tag them, or your friends, in a comment down below, just like at them, because I feel like if we do that and then they see it, then they might get something from it. That's super cool. Right, guys, so I kind of looked through all of the things that kind of, you know, all the issues that we have with autism and food, and there's so many things that people think is the reasons why autistic people don't like certain foods or don't eat things in certain times, right? Now, let me put this in perspective. Mums and dads, are you sitting down? If the chicken nugget could be the global symbol for autism, then you would have no issues, because we all know that chicken nuggets is kind of like the staple. Chicken nuggets, chicken nuggets, chicken nuggets. I am vegan, but I do have vegan chicken nuggets. So it doesn't change if you change your diet, and it doesn't change as you get older. You like what you like. But there are certain things that we need to take into consideration when preparing food, when we're situated for food, and situations we put ourselves in for food with people on the autism spectrum. And I'm going to break each and every single one of those down. I want to go over, before we get into the tips, I want to go over why you are probably wrong in thinking why people on the autism spectrum don't like eating certain foods. Now, the current consensus is very simple. People think a few things: that people with autism are picky eaters, which I suppose they are. People with autism are stubborn, so they don't want to eat certain things just because they just don't feel like it. And I guess sometimes we all get like that when we don't want to eat certain things. Another one is that, this is the big one, people think that autistic people all have sensory issues with food. Now, it can be said that sensory processing disorder does come comorbidly with almost every single diagnosis of autism, because it's kind of one of the ways that you diagnose it in a way. In terms of that, yes, sensory processing disorder can impact the way that you communicate with food and the way you understand food and the way an autistic person feels like something that they want. Maybe they don't want cold food on the plate. Maybe it has to be really, really hot. Maybe they want to segregate, you know, peas to one side, gravy in another side, and they want, like, I don't know, meat in the middle, or what, I don't know how you want to do it, but maybe they want things segregated off. Maybe they want different bowls with stuff, like a tapas table just for like a Sunday dinner. But that isn't the main issue why people on the autism spectrum don't like certain foods. Let me put a scenario to you. And like, mums and dads, I know you guys are going to love this. You are, you make food in the house, right? You did a pasta dish, right? So you do a pasta dish and you make pasta for everybody and you put it down, and your child who's on the spectrum looks at the pasta dish and gets freaks out, right? Freaks out. It's just pasta, like, you know, maybe it's butter noodles and some tomato and basil kind of sauce, and they freak out. They can't have it. They end up just having chicken nuggets and breadsticks or whatever, you know, you make for that night. That helps them out, and then they're cool with that. They're cool with it, and that kind of works. Now, you guys are gonna know this. Honestly, if you guys understand what I'm talking about right now, give this video a thumbs up, because the next thing I'm gonna say is gonna make you give this video a thumbs up. Then you go out to a restaurant with family and friends because it's somebody's birthday, and you go to the restaurant, and they're serving up all the food. Now, they serve up pasta with tomato and basil sauce, and there is a butter noodle pasta. And then they give it to your child because everybody gets seated and plated. Regardless of what you know, you've got a bag full of like goodies that you're gonna give to your kid because that's what we all do. But your child eats the pasta and the sauce without an issue. Huh. So, what is going on? Initially, you would have thought it was a sensory processing disorder because the noodles are too slimy, the food is too cold, the sauce is too hot, there was sauce on the noodles, right? It's probably none of those things. And you know why? Because it's environmental. One of the things that people always forget about, and they're always wrong with autism, is that they forget that environment is everything. So where a child on the spectrum or a person on the spectrum may like a certain meal in a certain place, they may not like that in another place. So it's not just the meal, it's the setting as well. Isn't that something interesting? So I'm gonna go through three of the top tips that to help you overcome most of these issues when you're trying to prepare meals, when you're trying to get people to eat, and when you're trying to just try different things out really with autism and food issues, because food aversion and autism goes hand in hand. All right, let's do it right now. Okay, situational connection. So try situating and understanding the situation. So if you're at home and they like a meal at home, but then you take them to school or you go to work, don't like that meal in work or in school, then think about it. Make that list, make that connection. Understand, like, okay, well, you know, I know that they'll eat pasta here, but they won't eat pasta there. I know that they'll eat kind of like, you know, Rice Krispie cakes here, but they won't eat Rice Krispie cakes over there. When you do that, when you know, when you make those notes, when you complete that kind of calendar that you know, okay, they'll eat this there, so I'm safe, you are going to then be able to make your life a lot easier. Because by knowing what and what you cannot eat at certain restaurants with your kid or yourself, I mean, that in itself, just a load of stress, a load of anxiety just gets taken off mum and dad, and they can just enjoy the time out. So number two, reduce sensory issues. Now there are sensory issues, right? That, like I said at the beginning, it's not saying that sensory issues aren't a thing. Sensory issues are a thing, but it's not the only thing. Now something I'd say about sensory issues and what we need to do here is we need to reduce the triggers. So when you're making a meal and, like, you know, maybe your kid touches the pasta or touches the meal, and then they get a trigger and a sensory overload and they like freak out and then it starts a meltdown, make a note in that same diary book, make a note saying pasta in the house whilst touching causes meltdown, because you have to make a complete guideline to a person's needs. Because, but why wouldn't you? You're trying to help them understand and eat nutritious food, so you have to understand and appreciate the fact that some foods are going to be triggering. Like for me, for instance, I can't touch a plate that has cold gravy on it, and I can't have gravy on a plate that's cold. I can eat the food when it's hot, but I can't eat the food once it's cooled down. When food cools down, it freaks me out. And the same as when I've got hot and cold things on a plate together. Like, you know, say you had like a piece of grilled chicken and then a salad, that freaks me out because the salad's really cold and then the chicken's really hot. I don't eat chicken, I'm just saying as an example. And, you know, so I can't do that. It has to be cold or it has to be hot. So just make a note of those things and those changes and those requirements, because those things are going to save you a lot of stress and a lot of issues, because you won't be able to dish something up then that is going to cause an autism meltdown, let alone a lack of eating, right? Because you're going to be wanting to obviously have and calm in the chair or whatever you're sitting to eat, and also enjoy the food and actually eat the food. So yeah, this diary idea is your new Bible. Okay, so number three is environmental calm. And what I mean by this, right, is the setting in which you place someone to eat food, and this could relate back to the situational connection, is having, you know, it's so why would they eat food in a certain place and not another place, but it's the same meal but in different locations? And it could be down to environmental factors. It could be too many bright lights in your house and not in the restaurant, or vice versa. There could be certain smells. The chair they're sitting on could be triggering. The tablecloth could be triggering. The knife and fork, the plate could be triggering. It could be a whole host of things. It could be the smell. Maybe they're sitting too close. Maybe they're too hot. Maybe they're too cold. Environmental changes can create issues with sensory processing and food aversion. Now, my tip for this is to create a calming environment. Find out what calms your child or the person that you're with on the spectrum. What do they like? What is calming for them? And create that environment when you're creating food. But don't make it too chill zone-y, because then they won't eat food. They'll just want to play games and read comic books and watch TV. What you want to do is make it a food area, but a calming environment food area so that they can enjoy the food, they can enjoy that meal, they can interact with the food because you've already done, you know, you reduced sensory issues, you've already, you know, situated the connection, and then now you've made environmental calm. So by doing those, you then have the best possible chance of creating an environment and a meal that the person is going to enjoy, eat, and actually feel calm. And if all else fails, you can always put those chicken nuggets in the oven or just drive to McDonald's and get some chicken nuggets. But at the end of the day, these are designed to make sure that you guys can get the best out of your eating experience. And if you think that anybody else can benefit from these tips, please share this video right now on Facebook with your friends and family, or tag them in it on Facebook and or on Twitter, and let them know that this video exists. Or you can just copy it and send it on WhatsApp or whatever. As long as we're reaching people and helping people, that's super awesome. And on that note, I will see you guys in the next video.